I okay? Am I all right or no? Okay. Now, the two things I want to emphasize today is who can give a promise and keep it, and then who has a command for us that we cannot keep. I know you can't read that, but it says command. I command you, Lord, to make a nicer black. There we go. Command. Now, everybody under a law is under a command. Do this, don't do that. So, what he commands us to do, we can't do. Never have done, never will do. Never will do. Never, never, never. That is, you and I, apart from Jesus Christ, cannot do it. With him, you can do all things. In him, you can do all things. So, what you cannot do, you can do in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. And so, it's God's will that the promise actually swallows up the law. So, there's no more law. That's why there's no condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus is all promise. The command came through Moses, but the picture of God through the command is that he expects something of us, whereas the picture of God through the gospel over on God's right hand says God has done it all. He never wanted you to do anything. Jesus did everything over here under the command. Therefore, the command actually becomes a promise. So the promise has swallowed up. You shall not lie, you shall not steal, etc. It's just a promise. You shall not lie, you shall not steal because of Christ, because of what Christ has done, and you didn't done anything, you don't have to have done. But because of what he did, you don't have to did, you don't have to do, you don't have to obey. Now, how then will you obey? Well, you won't, but Christ in you will. So he doesn't want you to even help out. You're not helping out, you're not cooperating. I know it seemeth like that, but he's in you to will. He's in you to do of his good pleasure. That's the zeal of the Lord of hosts that has done it, not just you working at it, not just you laboring, but you entering into the rest of what he did, but he didn't do it for himself, he did it for you, so that you could actually obey God, but not in and of yourself inherently, but in him and through him and by him, because you're related to him as a bride to a bridegroom, as the betrothed to her beloved. And so it's the relationship, not the performance. It's the relationship, not the performance. It's the relationship that you have with the living God who acted first. We love, so we did obey, because he first loved us by saying, Jim, Judy, Alice, Bob, will you marry me? And then you're free to say no, or you're free to say yes. Nobody forces you. God will not force by a command or by a punishment if you didn't obey. That was given to Israel, by the way, and Israel proved over and over again that she never could keep the commands of God. She never could keep the Shabbat Shalom. She never could have a perfect peace. That's why Jesus said, come to me. Not go to God, but come to me. That is, God through me, because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So they came to Jesus, not to the Father. You can't go to the Father without being perfect in the flesh, so that's impossible. But you can now because there's been mercy given and power that ties to it, that enables you to be forgiven and then to be empowered through his presence, his indwelling, holy presence in you, so that you can do all things. You can do all things now through Christ who strengthened us, so there's no excuse. You cannot now make provision for the flesh because you now have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you to will that you want to do it and then that you're able to do it. That's how he created us in the first place, not to keep a command, but to voluntarily, freely, joyfully, easily keep the Father's sheep, love the Father, worship the Father with all your heart, soul, strength, life. so that you then could, and men could see that and say, that wasn't that person. That was God that manifested himself. Because the life of Jesus is now in you. He's not in a tomb. He's not held by death. Death couldn't hold him. And therefore, you cannot die. You cannot die. But if you just take his name in vain, you'll fall back under a command. But if you take his name not in vain, that is, if you assume that the promise he spoke swallows up the law that you couldn't and couldn't ever have kept, because you're not perfect. You don't know how to do the impossible. You can only do the possible. But God created you in such a way that you are able not to do the impossible. You could never do the impossible, which was be like God. But yet he created you with the capacity to do it if you died in Christ by not doing it, but by letting him do it so that you could have a relationship with him. So it's the intimacy of a relationship, not the performance of flesh. He wanted flesh dead. So your flesh, you can't say, well, I can't help it. Yeah, no, you can. You can help it. Meaning, I don't have to make provision for flesh anymore. I actually can love you right now without understanding it, without feeling it, without desiring it, without wanting it, because God does it all through you. That's his glory. There's his glory right there, that he could work through flesh people, kill the flesh, resurrect the spirit, so that you could do it today, right now. You actually can be happy right now for the rest of your life. So how many are already happy? Because he paid for it. He paid for it. Paid 2,000 years ago, he paid for it. But now, actually, 6,000 years ago, before the foundation of the world. He already made all the good works you're ever going to walk in then. That was his intention, knowing you would fail. He knew you would fail because he knows everything. But he knew the end from the beginning, that in the end, he would have an innumerable host who would actually obey and keep the law, but not by the flesh. They would keep it by the Spirit of the living God that's inside of you, so that your deeds would be wrought in God. So therefore, we can love each other today. We can. You don't have to. You can. You're able to, because of the Holy Spirit who has restored the image and likeness of God. Betzalemnu kedemutnu. The image of God. You were made in God's image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That same tripartite trinity, that same threeness is now in you, spirit, soul, body. And so what God has done in heaven, let it now be done, not thought, not believed, not willed, but done on earth as it is in heaven. So that dunning is the only thing this world sees. They don't see your faith. They don't see that you're a disciple and you want to be a good Christian. They don't see any of that. The only thing they see is the fruit. The only thing they see is that you were a branch in a tree that bore fruit, and it wasn't from you, it was through you. You were the means. You were the source? No. You were actually just the channel. He was the source. And you know what? People give glory to God when they see that, because they know you must be a son of God. You'd have to be a son of God. God the Father must live in you. You must be a new creation, not a natural creation, not old, because I couldn't keep the law before. I tried to keep the law. It was too hard, because it said, be ye perfect as I'm perfect, be ye holy. I just couldn't. I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it, and I didn't do it. I couldn't, I wouldn't, and I didn't. How many know that you can't keep God's law? Only God can keep God. That's why God sent his son Jesus to keep all those commands. He kept them all. He said, his commandments are not burdensome. They're not hard. Keep them through the promise. If Israel had met the law of Moses, if they had met the law with the promise to Abraham 430 years earlier, they would have kept the law as well. And now they can through Jesus Christ. Because the command really was, be like Jesus. Be a son just like Jesus. Spirit, soul, and body. A perfect heart, perfect soul, perfect body, life. So that you actually can be exactly what children think you are. How many of the children, when they're raised up in your family, they imagine you're awesome, which is, it doesn't happen to be true. But the little kids don't know any better. They just think, you know, I love you, mommy. You know, they completely buy into it, and then you disappoint them later. So it'd be good if you warned them, yet at a certain point, maybe two and a half, three, that hey, daddy and mommy have to obey God too, and just like you, you know, just like you. You have a little stubbornness to you and a little selfishness and so on. But he hasn't gotten that way yet, has he?
No.
No. Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. See, I get a reward. But he's still a believer. He believes that his parents are awesome, you know, so don't ever disappoint him in that one. How many know we just can't keep it up? We just can't. We just run out of breath all of a sudden. So under an illusion, anybody can get along. And that's why people marry. They marry because of an illusion. Hello? You marry an illusion, you're going to divorce an illusion. I mean, that's all there's to it. And so, but if you marry a real person, there's no illusions there. That's a real person and they're bad. And the bad thing is that their badness brings out your badness. Because you're either going to be a hypocrite and judge them, or you're going to be, you know, equal to them, and then, you know, you'll probably keep your marriage anyway. So how many know we're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? All have sinned. All have equally sinned. I can say it. It doesn't look that way to us, but to God he can see. If you're not perfect, you fail. That's it. If you fall short of the glory of God, you didn't have Jesus in you. And you see, because God has provided Jesus, now you don't have an excuse. You can actually walk today in love. You can actually love. That's why my whole ministry is not really to this church. It's really to Peggy. Because unless a man knows how to rule his own house, he cannot rule in the church of God. And so the problem is that it's hard to love people. You know, certain people. Bad people. Christian, phony, fake people. It's hard to love them. Because you can see their flaws better than they can. I mean, you can see, yeah, you say you're a Sunday school teacher, but I think you're not. And we just pick out people, and you don't have to even try it. It just kind of comes naturally to just judge, criticize, and look down on and despise other people. How can you call yourself a Christian? It just comes to you. It just comes to you. You don't have to pray about it. God, give me discernment. You've got it. You've got that natural gift of criticism, of judgmentalism, of despising someone who's not perfect looking, acting, right? Because when somebody sins, it has a negative impact on us. What'd you do that for? What's wrong with you? There's just something that comes out of you called sin, self-righteousness, that why can't you do it? I do it. How many know that isn't acceptable to God? So he doesn't want that. So he's not mad at anybody that you didn't keep his commands. He doesn't care. So why are we still law keepers? Let God who is in us keep that law. Because only God can keep a promise, because the promise swallows up the law. The promise is that I want to marry you. Will you marry me? I want to marry you. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You get that one relationship, you get all the others thrown in for free. If you're in love with Jesus, it's easy to love your husband, your wife, to submit to the head and so on and so forth. All that stuff is easy. Al-Qaeda is not our problem. Homosexual, you know, agenda is not our problem. All the crooked businessmen and, you know, political people who don't keep their promises, that's not our problem. Our problem is the church needs to be the church. And that's what the church is. What I just described is the church, that it's Christ. It's not you behaving. It's Christ behaving for you, in you, through you, so that God gets all the glory. And here's the thing about a promise. If I promise you something, I'm obliging myself to do what I just said. I'm not obliging. I'm not binding you. I'm not controlling you. I'm doing something that I said unilaterally, I will do it. I will do this. I will do thus and so. So if I promise to love you with all my heart and soul and strength and so on and so forth, I can't keep that promise. But I obliged myself. So your promises don't happen, but God's does. And he's the only one that keeps his promise. And thank God, he promises everybody. Whosoever will may come. Anybody can get in on this. There's nobody on earth, I don't care what their conditions are, male, female, young, old, smart, dumb, it doesn't make any difference, skinny, fat, nothing matters.
God loves everybody, for God so loved the whole world. I mean, he's not hating anybody. I don't care. He doesn't desire the death of any sinner. Takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. The opposite. He wants people to know who he really is. Not the left hand over here, command, but the right hand over there, promise, because God has obliged, obligated himself forever, never to bind you, always set you free, keep you free forever and ever. That's a man worth marrying. That would be a good husband. And every pastor, every man of God, every woman of God should be someone who, if you bind yourself, there's no problem, but you do it in Christ's name. You do it in his name, in his name. And when you do that, he's the one that's bound, not you. You can make the promise, but your promises are really his promises that you're basing your promise on. So I could say, as I did to Peggy, you know, I'll love you to death, do us part, and so on. I can say that. But I couldn't keep that promise. There's no way I could keep that promise. I think I did keep it for 2 hours. And that was it. It was gone by, you know, 4 in the afternoon or something. I was already on to, you know, I'll get even with you for that. I was already falling back into my old, you know, I thought getting married would be, you know, have a difference somehow. You know, it's just, it didn't. You know, I was just still the same old rotten, lying, cheating person that I always was. Amen? Could anybody say amen? Do you have a sense of humor? You know, it's, come on, people are not nice. Christian people are definitely not nice. I'd rather be with a mafia or the devil himself, really. People will let you down because they put illusions on you as though they're nice. And then you fall for that, and then you get hurt. You get hurt. And that's why people, you know, thought, I was so sincere. You weren't, of course, but you thought you were. And, you know, I thought I entered into the marriage pretty sincerely and so on and so forth, but you quickly learned, this may not work out exactly the way I was thinking. I may be under an illusion. And within the, I think we had to drive 5 hours to our Vermont or wherever we went, Peggy knows. We went somewhere a long way away. And I wanted to get on the road and, you know, do what married people do. And it was going to be great, wonderful. I was even going to pray. However, by the time I realized she's never going to submit to me. I mean, I knew that when we were dating, she never did. But I thought after we were married, I'll be the boss. I'll be the head. I'll be the head of the church. I'll be the head of the wife. You know, and then she'll gladly, happily, she's so radiantly happy because she's marrying me. But she was not. She was not. She was caught up in her friends and, you know, all the champagne she was drinking and so on and so forth. And I'm just there in her backyard. I want to get out of here and have the fun part of this thing and, you know, whatever this is supposed to be. I want to have this marriage now. It's going to be lifetime. No divorce. No, you know, going all the way. That was an illusion. It wasn't an illusion about her. It was an illusion about myself, what's capable of sustaining such a relationship. And I realized right then, what are you going to do now? You've just ruined your life for the rest of your life. You're ruined. Because she's never going to submit to you, so you had an illusion. Get rid of it. You either get rid of that. Boy, wow. Don't I have some options? You know, there was none. You're stuck. How many of them, once you get married, you're stuck. You're stuck. This is it. And all my bad stuff is going to come out. And so I was angry the whole time we were driving up there and didn't speak a word. Not a word. Not a word. But she thought I was angry at her. I wasn't angry at her. I was angry at myself for being an idiot, a fool. I was. Because what do I do now? How do I get out of this? I can't. And you know what? Even if I could have, I didn't want to. I still wanted to be married to her. I was still committed to that. I mean, it's amazing. What's wrong with your brain? What are you doing? Why don't you, go and eat at a restaurant somewhere and come back and, you know, before you've actually committed. Because we were both, you know, virgin and so on and so forth. We're good people. We did it the right way. And by the way, when we did get there, I did not pray. I did not. I'm not praying. I will not be a hypocrite. So God was out. It was just an idea I had of a good way of starting it. But instead, it was ruined from the beginning. Yahoo! Y'all see that? Now, I was not a Christian. I was not a Christian. I didn't think I was a Christian. I didn't try to be a Christian. I was never nice or anything like that. But I was selfish. I was thinking, this is going to be great. You know, we've been together 5 years. We know each other. You know, we get along good. We're good friends and so on and so forth. This thing will be awesome. And I'm a pretty good person. I don't smoke or drink or chew and go with those that do. You know, I've got a lot going for me. And I did. And I thought it would be awesome to be married to me, and she should be happy. That's another illusion. I did have two or three. Okay. But the rest of your life, you get out all the other illusions that you have about how it works. And then you become a Christian, you read the Word of God, and you realize, wow, I had it all upside down and backwards. Well, God didn't want me to be the head. He wanted to be the head of me so that I'd be dead from his head. And then once dead, I could love her without, you know, without any hesitation. Because she didn't have to do the right thing or fail to do the wrong thing or whatever. She didn't have to do anything. I was the problem. And when you're the problem, how many know it's always you? C'est moi. It's always me. It is never somebody else. It isn't Al-Qaeda. It isn't, you know, Obama. It's not anybody. It's you. So God always wants us to deal with ourselves. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give you everything else. Don't work at it. I'll just give it to you. That's a promise. That's a promise. I like that promise. And I didn't believe it, and I didn't believe it, and I didn't believe it, and I became a pastor without believing it. I became a pastor without believing what he said. I thought intellectually that's the right answer. I read it in the Bible. But I didn't really believe that from my heart. I wasn't emotionally into that. I wasn't volitionally into that. I wasn't intellectually into that. I just saw, yeah, that's the right thing. But I personally do not have a living, loving relationship with the living God. I'm just a pastor with head knowledge. I got a lot of knowledge in my head, but I don't have anything in my heart. You know, I just want to be God. You're the only one that caught that. I mean, that's a small thing, is it not? You know, just that's all I want is worship, adoration, and so on and so forth. That's all I wanted. And so you cannot do that with God. He somehow feels that's his prerogative. That's his prerogative right there is, Jim, you can't be God. You can only be you. And by the way, you know, I'm glad you want to serve me. I didn't. And I knew it. But I had to preach it every Sunday and be a liar. And actually, every Sunday, I would get up at the... Now, we had an altar in the Lutheran church. And I got down on my knees, and all the people were there. And they knew I was holy because I'm, you know, going up there and praying over the little bench before the altar. And I'm saying, God, could you just give me these people today that will really be appreciative of whatever I say, because I really did not spend any time with you this week. But make me look good anyway. Now, I know I don't even know if you're alive, but just in case you are, let me pull it off so that I don't get docked. I don't get my pay taken away. And every day, I was a complete, and I never kept those, I never did it during the week. I always said, I'm going to pray, and I'm really going to read the Bible this time, I promise. But I never did. So I always relied on just my own brain. I always relied on reading somebody else's stuff and just saying it. And I knew it was good. People liked it. But it completely had nothing to do with me at all. I was just delivering the mail. Y'all understand that? Now, this book of Galatians says that all commands are not something you can do the way God does it. In other words, a command by Jesus is always, be just like me. Or be just like God, or be godly. And, you know, anybody that lives a godly life will be persecuted. How many want that? I mean, if you live a godly life, if you really do die to yourself and fall in love with God and do what he says, you're going to be hated, despised, misunderstood. How many know that is not cool? That is not cool. So I didn't see the good news in that. So I'm going to be obedient, but just kind of like to a little bit. I don't want to go all the way with him. I'm kind of scared of him, actually. What would happen if I didn't do my own willing? What would happen if I didn't do my own decision making. You know, what would happen if I actually gave up my life? I wouldn't have any life. I'd be a nothing and he'd be everything. You see what I'm saying? So that kind of didn't appeal to me. So Peggy got the brunt of all that. Yeah, but that's okay because she was a masochist, so it doesn't bother. Now, did you know that there are people that are masochists? That is, because they've sinned so much secretly, not openly, but secretly, they know they have to pay. You know, she had to expiate for all her sins. For example, if she judged me, she knows she'd go to hell. Unless she did three or four good things after that. So one thing was, even though she judged me, she'd have to go back in the bedroom and say she was sorry and then come out and hug me. And I would say, oh, are you asking forgiveness? And she would, then she would go back and have to ask again. And she never did catch on how rotten I was. You know, she always thought, oh, he must be somewhat decent. I had known him for 5 years and so on and so forth. But anyway, I was cruel. Now, God forgives sins. That's a miracle. That's a miracle that God could forgive not only open sins, obvious sins, like I did, but hidden sins, hidden ones that nobody even sees. They actually thought you were good and so on and so forth, and you let it ride. Instead of saying, no, it wasn't me, it was God, you said nothing. You just kind of smiled, like humble, looking humble. You know, well, yes, you know, I did do that. I was used by God. I guess God needed me. I mean, know that we are proud. We are fearful. We are angry. We are jealous. We are envious. We are full of doubt. We are full of self-pity. We are not Christian. Our fruit, the fruit that's coming off of our little dead tree, is not producing anything. Because when you do that, when you do bear that fruit, you're already dead. You're a branch that was on the ground with no life in it, and then God grafted you into his living tree, and you suddenly received eternal life, and the fruit came out, and you wanted to take a little bit of credit for that. You know, God and me, we did that. It wasn't God and you. Actually, it was just God. It was just God. But he did it through you, with you, as an act of mercy on his part and grace on his part, because that's what he promised, and he can't lie. So what he promised is so everything. There's nothing missing in any of his promises. None of it depends upon him starting and you finishing. The Holy Spirit's the finisher. That's God. Jesus is the Savior. He created you to worship him and to love your neighbor, but you didn't do it. But he forgave you through Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit enables you to actually do what you were originally supposed to do, but you couldn't do it apart from him. So you had to get the blood from Jesus and the Spirit from Jesus. And you had to be baptized in that Spirit so that it killed you. The Spirit's job is actually to kill your flesh so that the love can come out. Otherwise, you'll still be loving yourself. And so even though I was a pastor, I was not a Christian. I was never a Christian at any time. And I got up in front of my church in Fort Worth, over on the east side. Some of you were there. And I got up and I just said, by the way, I don't know. I just feel like telling you the truth today. I mean, I've lied. I'm a phony. I'm a fake. I'm not a Christian. Never have been. Probably never will be. But I love the pay. I love the pay. 1 hour a week, play golf the rest of the time and, you know, read books and so on and so forth. This is a great job. Thank you all. But if I were you, I would fire me. Because I've just told you I don't believe in God. Never happened, probably never will. And so I just thought I'd give you that chance to do it, but I don't think you will because you're not Christian either. None of you. Now, if you are, stand up on your chair. Suzanne was probably there. I don't know if you remember that. Huh? Before you, yeah. Well, your mom was there. But people were there, and nobody stood up. Now, I said, if you're really a Christian and better than I am, because I'm just telling you, I'm not a Christian at all. I just do it for the pay. I mean, it's easy. Just one hour a week. What's wrong with that? You get paid just like, you know, a regular person. It's awesome. I loved it. Do y'all see how rotten I was? Okay. Now, you're just like me, actually. That's sad. But you are. Did you know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? All. So if you judge me, you judge. You'll be judged with the judgment you just judged. Ha ha. So So you see, you can't. Isn't that cool? And I knew all those verses. So what I'm saying is I never was genuine. I never was a good person. I was never decent or anything. Never had any love for anybody. Not my mother, not my father, not my second father, my third father, not my sister, not anybody. I didn't care about people. I only cared about me. That's all. Did you know that most people are like that? Like 100%? No. It doesn't matter how you believe of yourself. You can deceive yourself and say, I've always been kind. Or I've always been a Christian since I was 4 years old. Yeah. That's great. Just stay close to me for a while and I'll bring out another side of you. Because everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? So, David, you have. And yet, you know, you look decent. You look kind, nice. So, I love it because in this church we have several sinners. We try to get one in each row so that you have somebody there. Why? Because did you know that even Christians, after they're Christian, after they're filled with the Spirit even, still sin? Are you aware of that? It says so in the New Testament. In 1 John it says, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, but it also says that all have sinned. I mean, everybody has sinned, even Christians. And that's the worst deal of all, is because you think if they're a Christian, and especially if they're not only believing in Jesus, but then filled with the Spirit, and then even discipled by Pastor Jim, they would amount to something. Not true. That is a complete illusion. Now, how can it work? It's because that promiser right there has all the power in the world. He has all the goodness in the world. He has all of the wisdom and knowledge in the world. And he picked you to be his bride. He picked you to be his bride. As is. Not fixed up. Not as you ought to be. Not as you could be. Not as you should be. But as you are. Just as you are without one plea. That's powerful. So Galatians, and we're going to finish the first chapter right now. Galatians is telling this story of passive righteousness and active righteousness. Passive, where Jesus does it for you. Active, where you do it. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, the gospel which I preach, is not after man. And that's how it came to me. Not by any man. I didn't get it from church. I didn't get it from preaching. I didn't get it from teaching. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The only way that I became a believer is not because I was good or listened hard or anything else. It was purely an act of God. Supernatural, meaning not at all natural. Nothing. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't want to be a Christian. I didn't want to do what I was doing and so on and so forth. I just did it. And I had rotten motives for everything. But God sought me out. That's a miracle. I wouldn't have sought me out. But God sought me out and said, I like that one right there. Because he does it with everybody. So he's not a respecter of persons. But he just picked me out also. But I didn't know. And it's like, hey, don't bother me because I'm not going to follow you. I can't and I won't and I don't want to. So don't bother with me. But God chose me and he said, you're a sinner, but I love you and I want to marry you. I don't want you to perish. I want to bring you into my kingdom. Nah, I don't want to. I don't want to. Get it clear. I don't want to. And if you weren't dead the first time, I'd kill you a second time. But you're already dead, so I can't kill you again. But if you ever come down here into my life and start bothering me like that, I'll kill you. So that I'm telling you, everybody here is a murderer. Everybody. Your flesh wants to murder God because God wants to direct you all the time. And then when do you get to be you? Never. I mean, that's unfair. He gave me a brain. I'm using it. He gave me, you know, a will. I'm wanting. He gave me emotions. Yahoo! I'm doing it. But God said, no, I want you just to turn all that back to me. Just render all that back to me. Let me do your thinking. Let me do your feeling. When you're sad, I want you to laugh. When you're, you know, thinking this, I want you to check it out with me. I don't want you to have one thought that isn't subject to me, one emotion that isn't subject to me. I want you happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Isn't that amazing? How many are doing it? How many are always rejoicing? Woohoo! How many are mad sometimes? Yeah, see, that's the problem. See, you're playing God. You're playing God. You're just like Pastor Jim. That is wrong. But God sought me out, was patient with me, and he eventually broke me. You know how he did it? Not through the law of Moses, but through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He offered me something I couldn't imagine anyone could offer, is that he would love me as is, without being changed, without being different, without cleaning up, without fixing. And I learned that from him and called my mother one day, and I loved her. I never loved her, ever. Never had a warm thought or anything that I know of. But I called her up and said, Mom, I only called you just to tell you I love you. You're the perfect mom. And she heard that, and I knew this before. And the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. She will not listen to you. She will just go on and start talking because that's the thing she always wanted to hear but never had heard, not from me. And when she heard it, I realized she was like stunned and she knew that she had misheard somehow. And so she just rattled on and started talking. If you ever talk to my mother, she never quits. But the Holy Spirit told me that when she takes a break, because she sooner or later has to take a break. I don't know. Are there other women like that? I know my mom was the chief. I mean, she was awesome. She never took a breath. I don't know how she did it. She just kept going and 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 going. But when she took her breath, I just did what the Holy Spirit said is tell her again, Mom, the only reason I called was just to tell you I love you. You're the best mom. Wow. She broke. She just began to cry. That was what she wanted to hear her whole life. Never had heard it. Wow. That killed my old man. You all see that? But it wasn't the law that did that. It was the gospel that did that. How could God love me as I was? And then my mom got the recipient of that. Then I called my sister and my cousin and my best friend and all this kind of stuff. And it was just kind of fun to realize you could love anybody. You could love, if God could love me, I could love anybody. Because I don't know anybody worse than I am. I literally mean there's no one worse than I am. Except for there's a couple of them here today. But Monty's one of them. He gave himself away. I wished he hadn't done that. But if he can save Tommy, he could save me. Amen? Why? Because we're all sinners. Everybody is. So don't hide that from God. You can hide it from people. But don't hide it from God. God knows exactly who you are, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, even more than you know. He knows secret things you don't even know. You've buried him so far. I don't know about that. Yes, you do. But let God bring it out, because you'd bring out the wrong one. You know, if God said to you, what is your big sin, your favorite? You would go, I talk too much? You know, you'd bring out something like that. But the truth is, it isn't that you have an anger problem. You don't have an anger problem. Anger is just the thing you use to hide the other problem that you do have. For example, you're full of self-pity. For example, you have an inferiority complex. For example, and so on, so on, so on. So you do not even know what your sins are. And they shift and change. Even if you picked off this piece of the onion, there'd be another part that you didn't know about. So if God should mark iniquities, King David said, who could stand? Well, I know I couldn't because I only did iniquities and I did them on purpose. I did them deliberately. I consciously did them. I never had a reason for them. I just wanted to. Why did you steal that? I wanted to. That's it. I mean, I can give reasons, but those are just games. I can justify what I did if you want an explanation just to get you off my case. But the truth is, I just wanted to, period. Well, why did you do that? I wanted to. So I always do what I wanted. And even when I didn't, I just waited for a few minutes till you weren't looking, and I did it. So wicked people are everywhere, and everybody is equal. Even though you play the game differently, it's still the same. And God indicts everybody. All have sinned. All. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So nobody, there's nobody, 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 nobody is good. Nobody, nobody. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. Jesus said that. If no one else is good, then no one else is good. So why don't you say, be good? You don't mean that. You mean, behave good, but don't be good. Because only God is good. You have to have a living, loving relationship, not through a command, but through a promise. I promise to love you as you are before you're good, and then to make you good by breaking you and killing you, so that then you have nothing in you but me. I'll clean out everything that's in you except me. And then together, you and I, will do all kinds of things, but I'll be the one that does it. And you'll be the one that gets the credit for it and the reward for it. But the truth is, you didn't even do that. Because apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do all things. So it's always the zeal of the Lord of hosts, so that your deeds are wrought in God. And God knows when a deed is wrought in God, you know, because you weren't even aware that you did it. Oh, I did that? Oh, praise the Lord. That's a miracle. You know what? Everything that God does is a miracle. Everything he says is a miracle. Everything. Everything you do and say is not. You do the possible, he does the impossible. So everything God does is impossible. In other words, you can't do anything. And the very command was, be just like me. You can't. You can't. You weren't. You didn't. So that's good news. You all see that good news? The good news is he loves you. The good news is not how much you love him. The good news is that he loves you without loving him, without responding to him, with still doing whatever you want to do. But he loves you. He'll never take that away. Never, 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 never. If God made an obligation, raised his right hand, swore an oath, I oblige myself. I will never bind you. I will set you free, and I will never enslave you. I will bear all the burdens. I will take all the obligation. I will bear all your burdens, set you free forever and ever and ever. That's pretty good news. That's not bad. I will give you every blessing in heavenly places, not just in heaven. I'll give you now. Even if you don't see them, I've got them stored up for you. Every blessing that's mine, yours. You're going to inherit. You are going to inherit eternal life and all that accompanies salvation. All. You'll not be like, can I go in here? He's not going to do that. Everything is open to you. Your family. You are now bride of the Son. You are now part of the family of God. You're not a natural person that God created by his hand. You are now a supernatural person, a partaker of God's very nature, so that you're spiritual now, a new creation. And therefore, you can do all things. You can do all things right now, right now, right now, just by faith. Just by faith in Jesus. That's how it starts. And then you can do it on a daily basis. All you got to do is confess your sins every day, confess your sins every day, confess your sins every day. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love it that you can go to a God who loves you so much that while you're confessing your sins, he's thinking of how ways he can bless you and say, Jesus already paid for that. Jesus already, it's okay, sweetheart. I love you just the way you are. Let me bear that burden. Let me take care of that. Don't you prove to that you're now worthy. Don't do that. You are worthy because I say you are. And everything I say, I do. And everything I do, I explain. So whatever God has said in the scripture, all you got to do is ask him, God, what do you mean by that? Don't treat him nicely. Just treat him like you want to treat him. Doesn't make any difference. Just say, Daddy, why do you do that? You said the speed limit was 55. You just went 72. That's speeding. You said that was wrong. And that little kid doesn't want to hear any kind of interesting answer. He just wants to hear this. I did wrong. Your daddy did wrong. That was evil. Then he's okay. Did you hear what I just said? You cannot fool people for very long. Because little kids remember what you said. They took it in, even though they were playing and looked like they weren't paying attention. They paid attention. And then when you do wrong, Dad, Dad, Dad. This is David. David did that. I remember he did. Dad, Dad, you're speeding. Oh, yeah, well, it's only 4 miles over. That's okay. No, Dad, you are going 11 over. They catch you. They catch you. You cannot fool anybody. So imagine God, you know. But little kids pick up all that stuff. So you have to be clean with them. You have to be clean with them. Don't lie to them. Don't lie. Just speak the truth. Now, we live by the promises of God. There are no commands. The command N/A doesn't apply to you. The promise applies to you. Never had a command for you, ever. He's describing what happens when you follow his promise. It swallows up the command, and you keep the command without knowing it. You don't even know that you did it. You know, in the last days, a lot of them are going to say, Lord, Lord, when did we do that? When did we do this? He's going to say, you know, as much as you did it to me. Because you came through the promise. That's the narrow way, not through the command. Nobody has ever kept any of the commands. Nobody at any time ever kept any of his commands. Outwardly, yes. But he didn't want outwardly. He said with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, all your might, all your mind, all everything you got. Because he made you and he wants you to not sin anymore, Monica. So you get that down. I noticed you weren't paying attention right there. So she just looked away for a second, but I caught it. So, Monica, no more sinning. Can I have your promise? Yeah, absolutely. She just lied. It's okay. No more sinning. There isn't anybody here that can keep his commands. Jesus kept them. It's irrelevant now. That's a moot point. He already kept it for you. And he did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. I did your righteousness. You don't have to be righteous. I'm already your righteousness. Now you can be good for nothing. How many people in this church are good for nothing? We say that, good for nothing. But actually, it's the truth. You are always good for nothing. You're not getting something because you already have everything. When the Father says, I love you, he's going to give you everything. Okay, so we didn't finish the first chapter. So, there you have it. Another one more sin to rack up against Pastor Jim. But it's a great scripture. It's a great scripture. Now, God wants you to know that everything he's ever done is always good. It's always perfect. It's always right. It's always impossible. But it's always for you. There's not one thing he's ever done for himself. Say, well, I need a little bit. Nope, he doesn't need a little bit. He's got everything, and he wants everything for you, not in heaven, now. Now. He wants you to get a down payment, a sealing of the Holy Spirit right now, today. And we got lots of things in front of us, everybody. You have lots of overwhelming things that you want God to solve. You just, as a human being, you just go, wow, I can't handle that. God, I'm so desperate right now, I'm going to talk to you. It's okay. He's okay with that. How many know you're always desperate, you just don't know it? So you could be talking to him all the time. But God, he's happy that you come to him once a month. He's okay. It's okay. Just as long as he gets to see you every once in a while, he loves it. Now, when you tell him what you want, don't say it in a spiritual, funny way. Just tell him what you want. For example, the man that was blind sitting by the side of the road, he said, what do you want? And he could have said, I'd like to be more like Jesus. That would have been a lie. What he really wanted was not spiritual growth. What he really wanted was, I like to see. And when he said that, Jesus did that, showing that he knows exactly what a little kid is. He knows exactly what someone is. He knows what you're really thinking. Don't lie to him. Just tell him the truth. God, what I like is a red convertible today. And I'd like to go home to my hometown, and I would like to show off to all those high school kids who thought I would never amount to anything, and I would like to throw out $20 bills to them all. Just to say, you see, you thought I was a loser. Now, tell him what you want. Why? Because he can fill in the blanks. Don't lie to God. If you want to be a Christian, that's easy for God. But if you fake it, he can see through it. So if you really mean it, God, I want to be the most holy woman that has ever been on the face of the earth, God hears that prayer. God hears that, and he will answer that prayer. But make sure it's from your heart. I want to be, who would like to start today? Not a woman. You want to be the most holy man, the most righteous he's ever had. No problem. God heard your prayer. He'll answer that. He cannot say no. Who else? Deb, you want to be the most?
Yes.
The most.
The most.
No more sinning.
No, hold back.
No more horse trading. She's awesome. She's good at horse trading. Okay. God already answered that prayer. That prayer is answered already.
Amen.
Did you know that if you ask for a fish, he'll not give you a stone? Did you know if you ask him for an egg, he won't give you a scorpion? Did you ask for a most holy? Okay, here, take a devil. Okay. He won't do that. Once God hears you, he hears your heart, not your mouth. He heard the mouth speaking out of the heart. He knows. And he's answered that prayer. Who else would like to say, I want to be the most godly man, woman that God has had? I want to be the most. Norman, who else? James, who else? Parthenia, Greg, Monty, Judy. It's powerful. Do you know God answers that? Because that's all he wants. Look, you have to do it in faith because you don't care that you're going to change your mind in 3 seconds. Just tell him. Even if it's in the moment, just tell him. He'll sort it out. You don't have to sort it out for him. Now, God, maybe I'll do... Don't do that. Just tell him what you want. That's why. Because he said that. He said, come to me. Just tell me what you want. And I, because of the Father, who's inside of me, through the Holy Spirit, will hear that prayer. I can't say no to you. I will say yes. I want the best for you. If that's the best, ask him for the best. Don't ask him for second best. God, I'd like to be married just to anybody. No, he won't answer that one. He wants you to be very clear. I want to be married to the most handsome, the most wonderful, the most spiritual, the most kind, the most funny, you know, and so on. That prayer he'll answer. Of course, he won't look like that. Of course, no one will look like that. You understand that. But he did answer your heart, not your head. But be specific. You know, say it with your head. Say it with your emotion. You know, he can calculate that into the equation. Let's say a little kid sees somebody riding a motorcycle and he's only 3 and he says, I want one of those. Dad, could you get me one of those for Christmas? It's not going to happen. He's going to get a tricycle. It's not what he wants. He wanted a motorcycle. He saw how that thing went. But you know what? The father interpreted what he said and said, his heart's desire is to have a skateboard or, you know, tricycle or whatever. God does not want to say no to his children. You're his children. You're his beloved. He created you. Then he's redeemed you. Now he wants to fill you with his spirit, empty you of you, so that you then can be used by him. But you know, when you lose your life, you actually find it. For the first time, you're loving others, and you find out you get more than they get. The one who gave actually gets. And the one who get, they're thankful to God, not you. Because they know that wasn't you. I'll tell you, the best has been saved to the last. So I hope you're understanding that everything that Paul said is my life. I can't read that and then just think of Paul. I read that and think, you know, that's how it happened. Is that this revelation of God, I didn't get one or I didn't ask for one. I wasn't looking for one, but it came. And when it came, it wasn't of this world. And I was just, you know, stunned, struck that I've got to live for God from now on. I didn't believe in God 3 seconds ago. But in that moment, I knew that I knew that I knew. From now on, I will be a Christian all the way. Don't even know what all the way means, but I knew it. And I said, from now on, you're not just my Savior, you're also my Lord. And then I corrected it. Well, de jure, not de facto. But I didn't need to correct it. But he understood that, so he discounted it. But the truth is, I gave everything to him that day. And I've never been the same since. That was the first day of my utter happiness and joy on the face of the earth. No one had ever... I didn't know that God was alive. I read the words. I believed all the words were true. But they weren't true to me in my heart. I didn't have a relationship with the living God. Now, I don't have an agenda. I don't have a purpose. That changed my life forever. Every time God visits you, which should be every day, but every time God visits you, he wants you to strip bare so that he can fill you with his love, his power, his grace, his glory, so that you can serve him and bring multitudes into the kingdom. So, let your deeds be wrought in God. Let your deeds be wrought in God. Rest in Him. Don't ever work. You're not under any command. He'll never bind you. He has set you free forever. Forever. A man who makes a promise not to bind you. I will never bind anyone. Never. If you promise something to me, I don't care. I'm not going to take it seriously. And if you do it, thank you, Jesus. But I don't care what people say or do. I'm not going to measure it because God is the only one that can judge the heart. I can't judge the heart. I know you sounded sincere, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Pastor, you really blessed me. Okay, praise God. I hope so. But you know what? It don't mean anything to me because I don't read hearts. All I know is what you said, and the next week you'll probably stab me in the back. Really, I'm expecting that. Why? Because people are liars. Did you know that? Let every man be a liar, but God be true. You know that. Only God is true. I can't rely on somebody else's promise. They can't rely on mine. I am not a good person except in Christ. And if it weren't for Christ, I wouldn't have a life. I wouldn't be alive. I don't have any meaning or any purpose or anything. And I'm too old now to even dream anymore. I used to make up stuff, but I can't even do that now. First of all, I can't hear anything and I can't see anything. And so, you know, it's kind of all my plumbing is going, everything. It's, my life is over. No, I'm going to live another 30, 40 years. But if not, I might die today. You know what? You have to be, as a Christian, you go with the wind. You have no idea where it came from, where it's going, what's your agenda. The only thing is to know Him. Just seek Him daily. Why? Because He's your whole life. He's your joy. He's your peace. I want to pray for my brother here. You're running for an office. Or did you? Yeah.
Both of them.
Monty? All right. So let's pray for them right now because you know how crooked politicians are. But here's two totally clean, honest, wonderful, good people. No. You know what? They know that if it weren't for God telling them to do this, they wouldn't do it. They're not winning. They're not interested in winning. They're interested in being faithful. Being right is second. Being faithful is first. So let's pray for them right now. Father God, we pray for Monty, and we pray especially that he will do this not because he has any ambition to do anything or be great, but that he has a willingness to serve your purposes and not to live a life that's taking your name in vain, but to actually be a blessing, a light and salt in this world as part of his Christian witness and testimony, that the things I believe, I want others to know there's fruit from that. It brings heaven on earth. It brings true government on earth and not just people getting along to get something for themselves. Thank you for that. And Bert, I just ask you that Bert McDaniel will be a mighty man of God, and he shouldn't win. He can't win. It's too hard to win, but he could win because of you telling him to do it. So we pray for both these men that they would have an impact on this nation as it's falling apart right now and all confused and we can't figure out where the good guy is. I thank you, Lord God. We have two right here that are willing not to be perfect, but willing to be men who are servants of the living God because they're sons of God, who want to serve their fellow man and give them the truth that'll set them free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you all. God is good. God is great.